This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Chris Ullman, head of Carlisle's Global Communications. This is the first in a series of podcasts featuring Carlisle investment professionals discussing innovation. And today we are joined by Rodney Cohen, co-head of Carlisle's U.S. middle market buyout team. Welcome, Rodney.
Thank you, Chris.
Let's jump right into it, Rodney. How do you define innovation?
I think innovation in investing is linked very much with creativity. When I think about innovation, I think about looking at an opportunity, looking at a particular company, looking at a backdrop, and trying to imagine what can be. It really involves taking a step back and letting the kind of academic piece of your brain go and not focusing so much on the quantitative side, just the numbers, just the growth rate, just this, but what can this be and where can it go? And again, to me, creativity and imagination is such a critically important part of what we do, particularly in smaller middle market companies. One strategic move, one strategic acquisition, one strategic relationship, a linkage can really make an enormous difference in the outcome of the investment.
Do you think that innovation or innovators are created from scratch, meaning are they born that way, or can you teach someone to be an innovator?
I think it's a combination. I think there are certain people who resist being innovative because they're not comfortable. I don't think it means that those skills aren't embedded somewhere within them, but the same way that certain people can't pick up a microphone and sing, lots and lots of people are either embarrassed or uncomfortable with coming out with an idea for fear that someone will say to them, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So I believe most people have it. I just believe it needs to be nurtured and encouraged in order to be brought out.
And for someone who is an innovator, what are some of the characteristics that they exhibit?
One, you have an ability to sit back and listen. I think one of the areas in our business in particular that a lot of people have problems with is because we represent the money, we tend to organize our meetings and everything else as sort of the epicenter, asking all the questions, the right questions. We're actually, I think, sitting on the other side of the table and asking thought-provoking questions of someone who's been in the industry for 30 or 40 years. What concerns you? Why? Is a much more interesting way to approach and learn. And I do believe that the more people practice and get comfortable with that, with flipping the chairs, the more productive these meetings are. Then you can take a step back when you're listening and start to think about, I see a connection between what that person is saying and something else I've seen before, or something else that I know about, or another business that actually describes itself very much the same way, because you're listening, not speaking.
What happens to an innovator in a non-innovative environment?
It is very difficult to be an out-of-the-box thinker, to be outspoken about an idea or an opportunity if the environment that you live in really suppresses that. And I have certainly seen many examples in my career where a young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed will come up and say something, and I have always gone out of my way to encourage them and to say, you know, that's not totally, you know, but if it was maybe a little bit of this or a little bit of that, I think maybe you are onto something. I do think it's hard when you're immediately reporting to someone who suppresses that.
Well, why does that happen? I mean, why would someone not be open to new ideas, creativity, taking that step back that you referenced?
I think a lot of it's ego. I think that someone who is of a certain number of years of experience in this business and has a certain disposition is unfortunately very likely to sit there and say, you're 25, what could you possibly know? If you have an idea, I actually should have been the one to have that idea, especially if it's a good one. So I'm not sure that I want to sit there and encourage you to throw out these thoughts or to say these things, maybe because of my own insecurities and maybe just because my ego won't allow it. I just don't want to listen. And I know that seems very harsh, but unfortunately, this is a business at times where that's what happens.
Rodney, how much of innovative thinking or behavior is carefully pondered, planned, and executed, and how much of it is just serendipity or seizing an opportunity that just presents itself?
I would say in my own personal experience, it's probably right down the middle. There is serendipitous planning where something pops into your head and it's because you're at a meeting, a conference, or this or that, and then you turn around and take that, and now you have to execute against it. And so the thought may have started on the right side, but now the execution and follow-up on it is obviously equally as important. It's very easy to sit around and brainstorm all day and do absolutely nothing with it. It's very hard to advance something when you're sitting in a position where you actually have to now go make this idea a reality. There isn't necessarily a blueprint. Who do you call? What do you do? Is this something that somebody can come and help me with? Or do I have to try to drive this myself? And so it all goes back to sort of confidence and self-motivation and willing to think out of the box, willing to reach out to people. You know, I remember in my career, probably one of the first times I had an opportunity to present one of the wackiest ideas in investing. And someone had approached me and there was a satellite that was half built by one of the biggest satellite companies in the world. So real company, real project, real money had gone in, but it was sort of lost. They had a plan to go in and get this satellite, and hundreds of millions of dollars had gone into it. It didn't need that much to be finished and completed. And we needed the cooperation of the satellite builder to do this. So over the course of 3 months, calls went into this gigantic company, requests for a meeting, et cetera, and all of a sudden, I found myself in a board meeting presenting to 14 people who had been in the aerospace business their entire careers, and I really knew nothing about it other than, here's this thing that all this money has gone into, and wouldn't you like to complete it and get paid the balance and put it up in the air? And I never forgot the experience because I'm sure the average age at the table was probably 30 years my senior, all 30 years spent in the industry, and I just had a very practical plan to present to them, and I did. And at the end of the meeting, they said, it's a great idea. We should do it. I left there with the impression that great ideas need to be run down and need to be pursued and need to have people that are willing to put themselves out there chasing them.
A recent example of an innovative deal is one that you and your team did with Philadelphia Energy Solutions. So how do you put together something like that where you say this refinery on the East Coast is going to be shut down by Sunoco, but you're able to see, well, if I take that company plus Carlisle's expertise plus this great guy named Phil, who you can tell us about, and if we do X, Y, and Z, so it's like you take all these ingredients and put it in a pot and stir it up. Is that innovation?
Creativity, innovation, backbone, willingness to have indigestion. Yes, that all goes into the pot. I think they are a series of complementary characteristics. Without Phil, who I had a 20-year history with, and the confidence in him to operate, I never could have gone to step two. Step two was, what's changing in the United States? So obvious today, but 5 years ago, not so obvious where things were headed with Mid-Continent crude and shale and what could happen. So imagining this structure operating, which billions of dollars had been spent putting in place, in a new world, in a different place where crude is moving by rail, crude is coming from the United States, crude is not coming off the coast, meaning being brought in by water. What does all that look like if you can kind of bring all those pieces together? And the firm was enormously helpful on the political front, on the social front, on the economic front, helping validate and test all of these things. And it's fascinating to be on the cutting edge of something as old as a refinery being sort of rebirthed in terms of what it can be in a market that is changing, maybe forever. It certainly feels that way. So yes, I would say that is very much the definition of innovation and creativity.
What kind of environment did you grow up in? Were you encouraged to be a creative thinker as a kid?
I was exposed to entrepreneurs when I was very young. I learned what it meant to create something, build something, have a little business. I had a lot of responsibility as a kid because I managed people and managed things at 17, 18, 19 years old, and really learned from a series of entrepreneurs how to make money, which is an interesting thing and sometimes probably a little bit different than how we think about classic investing. I think there is a difference. And again, I go back to formulaic investing versus out-of-the-box thinking and innovation. I think entrepreneurs are an amazing thing. I think they're not afraid to take a chance. They're not afraid to put themselves out there. They're not afraid to make that call, to show up in that boardroom, and they're not afraid to fail. We're never going to all be right all the time. It's much easier to stay right in the middle of the fairway. But I think that's how enormous opportunities are created and outsized returns can be found.
When you're interviewing a candidate for a position on your team, is there a telltale sign that you look for that says this person has that spark, that creativity or innovative spirit?
I try to tease it out, and I'm often unsuccessful because I think most people are programmed to not share that side and to really present to you kind of the academic qualification, the quantitative quality, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, and really sit there and say, I'm applying for a private equity job, not for a consulting job. I think they make it difficult to tease that out. There's also a very natural sort of speed bump for me, which is the more junior people that you're hiring, you can't have 20 innovators running around. You need people to chop the wood, you need people to help run the models, you need people to follow through with the analysis, and that's a big mouthful for anybody to sort of have to swallow. So you actually do need people with different skill sets.
So let's get some news you can use. So for our listeners, if you're giving advice to an employer, one thing they could do to promote an innovative culture, and for an employee, one thing he or she could do to be more innovative in their everyday life.
So for an employer, I remember being at a firm and they sent around a note one day and said, please jot down a thought as to what you could do to improve something at the firm. And the winner of this contest will receive $1,000. And I thought that was kind of neat. And you know what? They got some great ideas, and I didn't win the $1,000, but I tried really, really hard to come up with something that actually the firm ultimately ended up adopting years later. Things like that are ways of kind of gently challenging people and encouraging them to do something innovative or think about something innovative. On the employee side, what I would say, if you need to build your confidence up and get to a place where it's okay to test it out on some other people. You don't have to go straight to the managing director who you may be nervous about exposing this to, but try it on a friend, try it on your associate, try it on your husband, your wife, whoever it might be, and play with it a little bit. Build your confidence that way, that you can actually go and say, what about if we did this and this, and so what, you're wrong. It doesn't work, it doesn't, so what?
Rodney, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on innovation and the cultures that foster it. This has been really fascinating. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.